All right, good morning, everyone. Welcome. This is the Orange County Workforce Development Board Business Services Committee meeting for this quarter. Today is May 3rd, 2022, and it's 9 o'clock. Calling the meeting to order at 9 a.m. Everybody should have received a copy of the agenda packet. Before we move forward, let's go ahead and start with the Pledge of Allegiance. All right. Put your right hand over your heart and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you all. Let's go ahead and do a roll call. Staff.
Gloria Alvarado.
So if you could get present.
Jesse Benron, Kathy Boyd,
here.
Mike Daniel,
here.
Lorraine Holland Lays, Terry Hollingsworth, Annalisa Lukes,
present.
Oh, and I saw Terry wave her hand. Thank you. Ernesto Medrano, Carlos Oregon,
here.
Todd Sword. And we do have quorum, Chair.
Thank you, Desiree. Let's go ahead and find out whether we have any public comment. And if so, each person has up to 3 minutes.
We did not receive any requests to speak in advance. If there are members of the public present this morning that would like to address the committee, please use a hand raise icon or press *9 and I will unmute you. Seeing none, Chair.
Okay. All right, let's move on to item 5. We have an action item, and this relates to an apprenticeship policy. Carmel Lacy.
Good morning. Can you guys hear me okay? All right, so the intent of this policy is to establish apprenticeships in Orange County and how we will process apprenticeships. As you may know, apprenticeships is one of the, most popular forms of workforce development today. It is where the employer joins in developing the pipeline for their workforce, where the employer hires that individual on. And it may be where that individual is paid a salary while they're receiving training. Apprenticeships is not new as we traditionally see apprenticeships in the form of trades. We are moving to develop apprenticeship opportunities in non-traditional pathways, such as IT, healthcare, and other sectors. And in order to do so as a workforce development area, we have to establish what an apprenticeship is for our local workforce area, how we develop apprenticeships, how we pay for apprenticeships using workforce dollars, and then how do we develop and support pre-apprenticeship programs as a workforce system. We have not had a policy established for apprenticeships in the past. So this is the first policy. So this is not a redesign of a policy or an update of a policy. I believe that this policy is going to help us move forward in the development of apprenticeships in Orange County, as well as establish standards of how we reimburse employers. So if there was an apprenticeship today, I wouldn't have a method of paying the employer for the apprenticeship wages paid because we don't have an established apprenticeship policy. So this allows me to create an opportunity to reimburse the employer. It also provides CalJOB codes for the service providers to use so they can properly document how and what the apprenticeship is and how the participant experienced the apprenticeship. So this policy helps establish multiple things for us as a workforce development area, and it is necessary in order for us to start creating apprenticeships in Orange County. Are there any questions or concerns about this policy?
Okay, hearing none, there is a recommendation by the team to have this policy approved and submitted to the executive committee and to the full board for review and final approval. Hearing no questions, do we have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Moved by Terry. We need a second.
Second.
Okay, that was seconded by Gloria. All right, let's go ahead and call it to a vote, and we do need to take a poll. Is that right?
Correct. Gloria Alvarado?
Yes.
Jesse Benron? Kathy Boyd?
Approve.
Mike Daniel?
Approve.
Lori Holland-Lays? Terry Hollingsworth?
Approve.
Annalisa Lukes?
Approved.
Ernesto Medrano? Carlos Oregon?
Approved.
Todd Sword?
Approved.
And that is majority, Chair.
Thank you so much. Let's go ahead and move on to item six. We have two informational items, the Job Fairs Quarter 3 report and the Cal Jobs Survey Quarter 3 report. Karma?
Yes, I'm going to turn it over to Rhonda Miller to go over the Job Fair report and Cal Job Survey report.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Ready when you are, Desiree.
Just to confirm, you're on page 34, correct?
Correct. So the Job Fair report for the first quarter is a little bit different. Can we, any chance, Desiree, I can get that to fit to screen? Wonderful, thank you. And we're reading ahead, which is what I typically do. It's doing.
Is this where you're at, Rhonda? Just confirm that for me.
No, it is not. So we need to go to the Job Fairs report.
Okay, so you're all the way on page eight, not 34. Give me 1 second.
Thank you, perfect. So for first quarter, we had a little bit of a different job fair, a different event. If I can just get back to that first slide. So we had a Pathways to Apprenticeship informational fair, and that was in partnership with Second District Supervisor Katrina Foley, with Big John Cares organization, and a number of community partners. We had it here at our County Operations Center in the parking lot on March 9th, and we had a number of organizations of 28, and the total job seekers that were registered were 51, but we did have a lot of job seekers that weren't captured. So feedback from the organization, they estimated we had well over 100 attendees there. There were a lot of folks coming. So the intent of this show was to provide an opportunity and information for job seekers and for those who had been justice involved or young adults who were trying to have an opportunity for career exploration to receive information for a pathway in the next steps of their life. So this was a great event. It was different than our typical job fair, but that was the intent, and it was really successful, as I'll demonstrate as we move on. So although it isn't our typical job fair, we went ahead and included it in our analysis so you can see where we are compared to the number of employers, job seekers, and the unemployment rate. What we typically report on. And I just wanted to break down the organizations by type. So we had 40% were unions, which makes sense, right? Since it's an apprenticeship informational affair. We had 21% of employees, and then we had 32% of community resources there. Just to provide you a snapshot of the attendees that were there. So you can see the Briggs Electric, Morrow Meadows, those were some of the employers that were there. And so we were very fortunate that the unions work very closely with certain employers, knowing that they are ready to hire fairly quickly or to, to be able to engage quickly with attendees and accept them as far as the next steps for the apprenticeship process. So it was great that the partnership between the unions and some of their known businesses that they previously worked with were able to kind of partner together and join together for the event. Then we had community resources like the Orangewood Foundation, also a great partner of ours, Helmets to Hard Hats, they were attending also. So here's feedback from the surveys. 22 of the organizations responded. Overall, how would you rate the informational fair? And we got excellent, very good, and good, which we like to see. How organized was this event? Extremely and very organized. How helpful was the staff with you preparing for the event and providing you support during the event? Extremely helpful, very helpful, we like that. Approximately how many attendees spoke to your staff or recruiters? Look at those numbers are fantastic. We're very excited about that. All the way up to 50 plus for five of the organizations, 50 plus attendees. We actually had an entire busload of young adults bust into the event. And so we had case managers and young adults also at the event together. It was great. Please rate how well the informational fair met your expectations in identifying good hiring prospects. So we had exceeded and met. And then how likely are you to participate in an Orange County job fair in the future? Very likely for the bulk of them and likely for one more. What would you like to see improve? More attendees, even though we had a lot, some want to see even more. Nothing, folks were completely satisfied, eight of them anyway. You know, not surprised, some people want to be fed, some people want a little bit more shade. I need to control the wind moving forward in our next event. They'd like more events like this, and then one person would like to have some music at the event. As for the job seekers, we captured seven job seekers. I got seven. I was hoping for more than that with the number of job seekers, but we did capture seven. Overall, were you satisfied or dissatisfied with the event? Very satisfied, satisfied, and then two were on the fence, not quite sure if they were satisfied or dissatisfied. How organized was the event? Very organized and somewhat organized. How helpful was the staff? Extremely, very, and somewhat helpful for one. How many companies did you speak with? 1 to 5, 6 to 10, 11 to 15. One person wasn't quite sure how many. What did you like most about the event? There was a lot of information. Two people liked every single thing. Snacks that they're referring to are what our organizations had on the tables, along with their giveaways. Lots of friendly folks, free gifts. There's some motivation for one person, and they enjoyed the employers as well. How likely are you to attend an Orange County job fair in the future? Very likely, likely. Two people still on the fence and one person said they're going to pass. What would you like to see improve? Nothing. More outgoing, not quite sure. We couldn't understand quite what that was without more information. Another person wasn't sure. And two people said they'd like some diverse employers there. We promoted the event through our job seeker outreach, through our channels, our Workforce Solutions Center in Garden Grove, Ready Set OC, our call center, our partners with Project Kinship, Working Wardrobes, Orangewood Foundation, our vet partners through the Orange County Sheriff's Department and the Department of Corrections and Rehab. We also shared the information through our community partners. They shared through their newsletters, networks, and social media platforms. We had OCWB supplied the network and social media platform, and then we also promoted it on our social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn accounts. And I just wanted to give you an opportunity to see the event photos here. This is a handful. We have guest speakers there. That's Annalisa in the middle, Supervisor Foley, and then John Harriel from Big John Cares. He was very instrumental in helping us organize the event and connecting us with a number of the organizations and the unions, and just wanted to give you a quick snapshot of the event. And then we had a job fair on April 21st, so very recently, which I'll be reporting next quarter. But I wanted to share with you, we had press at the event. Press showed up, Channel 4 News was at the event. And so we have a video. Desiree, is it possible for you to copy and paste that video into a browser and show it? I'm going to keep my fingers crossed we can do that. Well, darn it. So we don't have audio, but you can see this is live at our event on April 21st. Job seekers filling out applications. The position of this piece was talking about how, Desiree, you might have to unmute yourself, Brynn is saying.
Thanks. Guys, we're out at a Santa Ana career fair inside the Discovery Cube Museum today. But as NBC4's Vicki Vargas reports, businesses are having a hard time getting workers to just say yes to the job.
Organizers say what you're witnessing here is a candidate crisis.
Thank you so much.
It didn't take long for Luis Correa to figure out he is in the driver's seat. After trying to find a job online, he was pleased to be filling out application after application.
Shocking just for me to show up here, and there's so many people that are giving out jobs. They gave me so many companies that are offering jobs, so it's an eye-opener.
Hiring is still the name of the game, but employers say what they're finding is that they don't call the shots now.
We need candidates, definitely, and no experience needed, and we train.
Has it always been that way?
It's not always been that way.
This plumbing company is offering a first-year apprenticeship at $60,000 a year, but even that is hard to sell. Straub Distributors also looking to fill nearly 50 positions lost during the pandemic.
We're offering a $1,000 incentive right now for people that come aboard, so we're definitely offering money and trying to lure them in with anything that we can.
Economists say the shift came during the Great Resignation, as workers went into business for themselves or moved out of state. And yet, here in California, unemployment numbers have dropped. Back in October, it was 6.1%. The latest numbers in March show unemployment at 4.9%. Experts say those numbers can be deceiving, as the unemployed may have maxed out on unemployment benefits. The labor shortage is also driving up wages. For example, Chipotle raised its hourly wage from $11 to $18 a year ago. Hoover Miranda has an accounting job but wants a better one, and he's not afraid to ask for what he wants.
I've definitely asked about salary, I've definitely asked about pay, and they're open about it. Now, if there's a company that might not be as open about it, I just walk away.
Then there are companies like Tax Relief Advocates who say they have managed to create a new cohesive office culture.
Tax relief is not going anywhere because the IRS is not going anywhere. So for us, you know, they feel that they're very comfortable with somewhere that actually has a lot of stability and has a future.
On this day, both employers and job seekers hope to seal the deal, even if it's done without a handshake in this post-pandemic era. In Santa Ana, Vicki Vargas, NBC4 News.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And thank you. We will be reporting on that. I'll be reporting on that next quarter. So we had a number of businesses. You heard the piece on the challenge of hiring. They are so appreciative to be able to have such a jam-packed job fair with so many job seekers. And I'm very excited. Just wanted to give you a little bit of a hint as to what I'll be reporting on next quarter. So thank you for that. Thank you, Desiree.
Thank you for that report and great coverage, Rhonda. Congratulations to you and the rest of the team for getting that. All right.
Just a quick question regarding the policy that we just approved. So for those employers who will be offering an apprenticeship program, are we now able to reimburse or pay those employers immediately now with this policy in place? Once they get their program up and running.
Right, okay. So remember they have to get, it has to be approved by the state. So you have to go through the state apprenticeship standards, right? And then you've got to get on iTrain, right? But once you set up with the state and you get on iTrain, yes, then I have a mechanism of paying you. However, not every apprenticeship is going to be eligible, meaning that we're not reimbursing an apprenticeship that's below a livable wage. Mm-hmm. We're not doing that. So as long as it matches our policy and as long as they've established their apprenticeship and it's been approved by the state, yes.
Okay, so do those employers know the steps that they need to take in order to get it approved by the state?
We have to work with them to do that. So part of what we do is Rhonda and I, for example, we just recently had that. We had a situation where Mike Daniels' group referred us to a beautician who wanted to create an apprenticeship program, right? Well, she wanted to talk about OJTs, but when we went down the path, we talked about maybe apprenticeship is a better, is more suitable for you than an OJT, right? So we met with that individual, or I didn't, but Rhonda met with, well, I met with the individual, but then we met with the individual, we discussed that as a possibility. And then we offered to meet with the California Department of Apprenticeship Standards with them to go through the process of what it would take to become an apprenticeship. So we sit down with the business and we review whether or not it's suitable. And then we connect them to the Department of Apprenticeship Standards to help them start the process of developing their apprenticeship. They'll have to do it in alignment with, in most cases, they'll have to do it in alignment with South Bay, because we want to also get that apprenticeship on iTrain so that we can pay for the education portion of it. So there's two sides of an apprenticeship, as you well know, Terry. Yeah. There's the wage part of it, which we're able to reimburse, but then there is the education part of it, which we want to be able to reimburse for the education side too. And in order to do that, we've got to get it on iTrain.
Okay, all right. So to your knowledge, of those who were in attendance, were any of those programs approved by the state?
What do you mean, at the job fair?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, we don't know that. And so let me just take two steps back and say that there are no approved apprenticeships in Orange County right now.
Okay.
So between the Santa Ana, Anaheim, and our workforce board, there are none. So we're okay. So our job is to start developing these apprenticeships with these employers.
Right. That's right. I do remember you saying that. So, okay. Got it.
Are there any other questions or comments or feedback? All right. Hearing none, let's go ahead and go to item 6B, CalJobs Survey Quarter 3 Report.
I'm going to turn this back over to Rhonda to go over the CalJobs report as well.
So for Q1, we sent out surveys to 94 employers that we engaged to. 16 employers responded to the survey. That's better. Our numbers are getting better and better, and that's how we are kind of efficiently getting those surveys out in a timely manner while we're still top of mind. So of those 16 employers, we did get responses. So the 94 employers engaged, you can see the business solutions provided. Below, we had a lot of job fair assistance on the job training discussions, helped post with jobs, discussed work experiences, helped with CalJobs. These are some of the bigger numbers that I'm going through. Job creation and revision with their job descriptions. We did client needs analysis, which we try to do with every client that we have. Some people just want their help. They don't want to sit and chat about what their needs are, but we try to get information from them. Information on hiring events, a lot of hiring events. And then we also do referrals to our sister workforce boards in our region. So that's the kind of breakdown. Some employers, we had services that we provided to them. So for the survey results, what service did Business Solutions assist you with? Job fairs, on-the-job training, job postings, pretty big. We did have a rapid response version, their rapid response layout version, CalJobs assistance, hiring events, and other. How would you rate the resource assistance provided by Business Solutions? So 14 of them had 5 stars. We had one dissatisfied employer. I knew it was coming. I knew the employer. I knew who it was. So I wasn't surprised when I received that. We try to provide the best service that we can. We're very helpful, but sometimes the answers that we have are not what employers want. That was the case of this specific employer. How would you rate customer service? 5 stars for 15, 2 stars for the 1? How likely are you to use Business Solutions again? 14 have 5 stars, and then the 1 star there. Please provide any additional feedback to better explain your answers. I love these kinds of comments. Elizabeth Hoy was amazing. As you know, she's my Business Solutions coordinator. Made the entire process run smoothly, explained everything step by step. Rhonda was amazing. I love all those exclamation points, of course. That's what we want to see. We had one employer that said, please help us get started as a featured employer on the Orange website, and we'd be even happier. What they were referring to was our Workforce Solutions Center website. What had happened was, is the person that submits the information on that site had been out of the office for 2 weeks. That was the delay. And upon their return, we ended up getting the information on the website, and they were happy. She's great and on top of everything. I dealt with Elizabeth and Nancy, and both people were amazing and continue to help. Thank you for all your hard work. More advertising. So someone who was involved in employer with our hiring events was hoping for more advertising. We do ask for 30 days in advance for those hiring events to provide, try to provide appropriate advertising, but they were hoping for more. Rhonda and Elizabeth were awesome, very knowledgeable, friendly, and fun. They were very clear in their explanations and open to answering my many questions. I look forward to continued collaboration with them and the Job Center. And Bryn was terrific. Again, additional feedback that will better explain your answers. And so this first paragraph of feedback is fantastic. It's with an employer called Medtronic, who reached out to us regarding working with us in a partnership to better serve veterans. They have an employee resource group dedicated to veterans. So we had an initial conversation and then a follow-up conversation where I included our Veteran Employment Related Assistance Program, our VEAP team. And this is what Ed Martinez, our primary contact, said. My name is Ed Martinez, and I currently work for Medtronic. I'm responsible for leading all of the OC and Medtronic employee resource groups. Our Veterans OC Employee Resource Group is looking for ways to help create, develop, and sustain a partnership with our local VA office. We all provided challenges and ultimately came up with some solutions that could benefit our community in regards to participating in job fairs, provide resume reviews to align with current standards, and create a mentoring service for veterans. The following workforce team members have been helpful and instrumental in kicking off this partnership: Rhonda Miller, Eric Ensley, Anthony Rafik, Emmanuel Harris, and Elizabeth Hoy, which is our Business Solutions and our VEAP team working closely together. I love that. Another response: I had the best experience working with these two representatives for your company. They were very helpful and knowledgeable, amazing experience. Elizabeth and I always love to see that. This has been extremely valuable and helpful to my business. I'm thankful for such a great resource. That's what we're here for. Very thorough and engaging, rapid turnaround. We really appreciate the services, job posting, and use of the room. So they were over at our Workforce Solutions Center and were able to utilize one of our rooms there. Thank you. There we go, the end of that.
Well, thank you so much, Rhonda. Great work again to the team. Are there any questions, comments, feedback, shout outs? I do have one question. So great job on the jobs fair again. I thought Big John was a tremendously wonderful partner.
Glad you could join
this group. Yeah. And, he said, I'm not passionate, I'm serious about this. That was really cool to hear, very authentic. I'm curious to know, were there any people who made that connection wherein an potential employee got a job at that event?
Yeah, that it seems to be the largest challenge that we have with both employers and organizations when we have events like this is actually getting that final number, right? Or at least where they are in the process. And I think that the apprenticeship in particular takes a while to get down the funnel for some of these employers. While they're willing to identify participants the day of, potentially, it's hard to get an understanding of where they are. I did talk with Todd at our strategy meeting. And he mentioned that there were two or three identified as potential participants in the apprenticeship fair or in an apprenticeship program. But unfortunately, Annalisa, I don't have hard numbers for you. We do try to follow up occasionally, every once in a while, touch base, see if we can get any information. Sometimes we do it, this time I don't.
Great. Also really liked the feedback that you received in your last report. I'm curious to know if there might be a way to share that perhaps on social or other channels to let people know the good work that y'all are doing.
We just actually wrapped up or are finishing wrapping up some testimonials from employers that were submitted. One specific to, we tried to get them specific to some of the services that we provide. And we still have a couple more on tap, you know, specifically to job fairs. We had such a tremendous response to that April 21st job fair. So we're pending testimonials at that point, but I have an OJT testimonial that's coming, it's on deck. So we're going to be having that for you. As far as those particular comments, I mean, that's a conversation Karmic and I can have to see where we can utilize that promotion. I mean, it feels a little self-serving to me. I love reading that and having that information, but if we can turn it into a testimonial, I'm all for it.
Right. I guess it's social proof, right? To explain to other people what the value of the work is. It's not really about us, but rather the purpose and the impact that the group is making. That's okay. That's you can do that. It's all right. Okay, any other questions or comments? Thank you again, Rhonda. Great job, everybody. Let's go ahead and move on to item 7. We have quite a few updates here. Karma, I'll just turn this over to you and you can run through items A through H. Okay. Oh, go ahead and unmute.
Yes, I'm going to have Rhonda go ahead and cover A and B, and then I'll ask that in the background, Desiree, if we go ahead and promote Nancy for C, so we're ready.
Thank you. So this is a compilation of hiring initiatives. We talked previously last quarter about our partnership with Applied Medical. They're hiring 800 people, the manufacturing company out in Rancho Santa Margarita, hiring 800 people this year. We hosted 3 hiring events for them in Q1. Now, they are seeking in particular, because of historical information and hiring, they really are targeting Spanish and Vietnamese speaking candidates. And so they wanted an opportunity to get in front of that audience. And so they had hiring events at our Workforce Solutions Center in Garden Grove, and at our mobile unit, which has a regular location on a monthly basis in at a family center in Westminster. So they participated in 3 hiring events in Q1. They had 3 more in Q2 on deck. And they are so happy with this partnership and the result of these hiring events that they've asked us to expand their partnership to their calibration and maintenance department. And I happened to have that conversation just yesterday, which is fantastic. So they have 15 openings there. They range from $20 to $35 an hour. They have a lot of service technicians, a lot of positions that have transferable skills, particularly for those candidates potentially coming out of service. So we're going to be having some very serious conversations with our veterans team to see if there's potential candidates there. And we're still talking with them about on-the-job trainings. I'm not taking that off the table yet. It's a very long process, my understanding, at this organization to get approval on a program like that. But we're still moving forward with that, still talking with them about OJTs. And then, as Karma mentioned, our partnership with DOS, we moved forward and had a meeting with the salon that was referred to us by Mike Daniels' group at the SBDC. And we also have pending meetings with an IT company and with another a cosmetology related business that's actually a beauty college. So that's on deck. So I know I reported before and we're moving forward with it. We are making our hiring events more robust. We are finding that businesses are engaging both on our premier virtual platform for virtual events, as well as live events, our face-to-face events at our Workforce Solutions Center. As you know, I mentioned that mobile unit opportunity for Applied Medical. So we had 15 hiring events in Q1 that had a total of 57 attendees across the board for all of our platforms. 11 of the events were virtual, 3 were face-to-face at our Workforce Solutions Center, and 1 was on the mobile unit. So we are increasing those events. We are talking with a number of different employers, which is what I want to see. I want to have a variety, of course, of employers. I want to have a variety of positions because our candidates are interested in a variety of jobs and industries. So we are at a point now where we are asking that they have a minimum of 5 open positions available to make sure that our candidates have an opportunity to, you know, be placed as quickly as possible.
Rhonda, I have a question before you leave that slide. So in this case for Foothill Regional Medical Center, there was a virtual job fair, I'm assuming. And is this saying 4 attendees?
4 attendees came, mm-hmm. 4 attendees.
Okay. Did that meet their expectations or?
Yep. Actually, you know, there were, you can see too, like Nordic Security and Durham School Services, there were 0 attendees for their premier virtual. So we had to reschedule those. So we get them scheduled. We have 30 days advance notice. We promote them as much as we possibly can in those 30 days. We send out reminder notices to those folks who have signed up. So people, when they come to the hiring events, they have an opportunity to schedule an appointment time. And that's in any of the platforms, even the mobile unit. So they schedule a time in advance. They're reminded the day before that they have a scheduled time. And the list of attendees with the scheduled time is provided to the employer. It's actually worked out quite well. We do have some that, have 0. I do recommend to our businesses that they try both. People want to be able to participate in what's most convenient for them. So some people want to go virtual, some people are happy to go face-to-face. So I recommend for businesses that they try both. We do see, like for Applied Medical, and a lot of it has to do, Terry, with the positions, with the available positions that they have in the interest of the attendees. Applied Medical had 10 attendees at our Workforce Solutions Center. And then again, they had 14 March 24th. So those positions, they have a lot of them, and their wages are fairly robust. And so we're seeing a lot of attendees, and it does depend on the positions and what's available in the interest of the job seeker.
Okay. I'd like to offer for when you do get to hospitals that are interested in having hiring events or job fairs, please keep us in mind, the association will help and market and promote from our perspective. So
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. And perhaps you might want to consider just leveraging, you know, the committee members and the board members here that might work in, you know, similar industries to help get the word out. You know, because I think the more hands and help we can get on just to raise an awareness of these events, the better.
So. I appreciate that. I'll confirm that you're on our, that the entire group is on our distribution list. So for our work experiences, we do have that ongoing work experience with 211OC with those 6 cohorts planned for 2022. They'd love 10 participants per cohort. For our January cohort, we had 3 participants. The position is for information referral specialists. So they can work remotely with the computer, and they do refer callers in to information and resources throughout the community. We have 2 brand new, fairly new work experiences with the Greater Irvine Chamber of Commerce for a communications assistant and a digital media assistant, which is a really great opportunity for a work experience. Both positions are going to be working directly with the Vice President of Marketing. So we have done everything by helping with the job creation and what information and experience these participants will have. And we've submitted several resumes, and they are looking at the resumes now to see if we can move forward. So that's moving along. Great. This is just a list of the outreach for the hiring initiatives. This is just an opportunity for me to show that we've had presentations. I went to a reception for the city of Lake Forest for the new businesses there. I presented to an outreach team at UMass Global. We talked with the La Habra Chamber of Commerce, et cetera. So the SBDC, a great partner, asked me to participate on their Ask SBDC monthly webinar. So that was a lot of fun. Then we had another opportunity to work with them for the Cal State Fullerton Center for Family Business webinar. I presented on that. I had a great opportunity with the Greater Irvine Chamber of Commerce, super partner of ours, presented at their Economic Vitality Council meeting. Carmen and I were both at the Orange County Small Business Development Center Minority Business Summit, which was a very well attended event and was an opportunity for me to gain exposure to a number of organizations that I hadn't had exposure to previously. So that was super. And then Small Business Clinic with the City of Tustin and the SBDC. And then I attended the Orange County Chinese American Chamber of Commerce March Business Mixer. Had an opportunity to provide an introduction and network with some folks. So that was great. We just started to try and capture some of our outcomes from these events and what I'm doing there. So from that March 8th Cal State Fullerton conversation webinar, 15 people were there, a little over 15 people. And I had a follow-up conversation with an organization called GBS Linens. And then for the Greater Irvine Chamber of Commerce, we engaged with three businesses. Irvine Marriott has participated in two of our job fair on April 21st, as well as I signed up for our June 1 virtual job fair. Yep, I'm teasing you with that. Parker Aerospace, we're engaged with them as a result of that. And then with the design group, there's potential OJTs with two of those companies. So I'm very excited about that. And then from that minority business summit that I'd mentioned, I went to the mixer. We had a partnership call with Advantage Beauty College for a possible apprenticeship program creation that's on deck. And then with the Asian Business Association of Orange County, we had a partnership meeting. I'll be attending their Small Business Development Day on May 17th with an exhibit table. That golf tournament on May 31st, I think Carmen and I are going to arm wrestle to see who's going to go to that one if we attend that at all. They extended the invitation. And then I have a business networking breakfast on June 8th where I'll be presenting to the group. So a lot of great things came from that Minority Business Summit, and they're still coming in. So we provided assistance with filling jobs for those hiring initiatives. I know we've touched on this. I just wanted to include it again. This is the Total Businesses Served, Total Business Solutions Services provided. Sorry, excuse me, served to businesses. And then I just thought I'd share with you a couple of pictures of business solutions out and about in the field. So those top three photos are the Small Business Development Center, City of Tustin Small Business Clinic on March 29th. That Lake Forest New Business Reception over there, the room was filling up on that first picture, and there's a picture of our table there and our offerings. And there's Elizabeth at the mobile unit with Applied Medical for their hiring event. And those top three photos, that's the Greater Irvine Chamber of Commerce Economic Vitality Council presentation. So a couple folks there in our hiring event on March 29th. There's Elizabeth with the crew. And then the Orange County Chinese American Chamber of Commerce March Business Mixer. Got the camera out. Great, great fun. Lot of networking there. So just wanted to share a couple photos with you out in the field. Can I take any questions? Okay. All right, so our on-the-job training initiative, we do have one active on-the-job training with creating coding careers at the moment. It's a combination of on-the-job training, technically an apprenticeship, but it's on-the-job training program for us, $20 an hour for a software developer. And then what we are having actively in the pipeline for our on-the-job training. So those two survey tech positions with Clean Energy still active, 10 people for a warehouse specialist with McLean. I had a phone screen for a candidate last week, so on Friday. So I've submitted that to the company for consideration. So we'll see what happens there. Then we've launched a number of OJTs for a food manufacturer called Pastamia, and they have a variety of positions. Kitchen manager paying $31.25 an hour, production supervisor $20 an hour, sanitation supervisor at $28 an hour, so they have to make sure that all of their equipment is cleaned appropriately for no cross-contamination, and quality and analysis document specialist. And we're having talks as we do. Here's our active discussions with ECOS in Cyprus. They have an opportunity for what they call a batch maker. ECOS, if that sounds familiar, if you have those clean cleaning products in your house, that's what ECOS manufactures, those very green cleaning products. Roofing organization, and we are speaking with Great Wolf Lodge, both for on-the-job training as well as work experience possibilities. The design organization that I met at the Greater Irvine Chamber meeting, Applied Medical, I spoke to that already. Kroger, Le Havre Bakery is looking for an equipment sanitation person as well for their bakery. And then we're speaking with Amway for their manufacturing division, with their manufacturing company, but specifically for their manufacturing group for a warehouse specialist and for a driver. This is the outreach that we've already talked about. I won't go through it again for you, but it's just listing the outreach that we've done for OJTs as well. I always include OJTs when I'm having conversations. And then Desiree, it's just the, okay. So here is my, COVID NDWG grant report. Just wanted to give you a brief snapshot of what we submitted to the state for our quarterly report, which shows our numbers there and participants. Carmen, did you want to speak to this?
Yep, I can chime in. So based off the fact that we were not able to find any participants, so I think you guys remember, we received this grant. Originally it was $800,000 and we received it I apologize. I don't remember the date in front of me. I think April of 2020. Is that correct, Ron? Or 2021? Excuse me.
2021. Yep. It was actually at the tail end of April in 2021. It was approved by the Board of Supervisors to accept the money then.
Yeah. So here's what happened. So in the pandemic, we applied for a grant from the state to create an opportunity for dislocated workers to find jobs. And what we proposed in our grant proposal to the state was to create OJT. So go out and find employers and with those employers, incentivize employers to hire dislocated workers. That was the whole intention of that program. And you may recall in the past board meetings, we talked about how many participants were being sent over from the One Stop Center. And as you can see, for the entire year, because now we can consider this about a year now, we only had one participant. And so as a result of not having any participants and not spending any of the money, because we'd already given back $400,000. So we started off with $800,000. We'd already given back a couple months ago and still couldn't find any participants to serve. I decided to give all the money back to the state. So that means that we no longer have this $400,000 to make OJTs available to participants in Orange County that have been dislocated. However, we can still make these same OJT opportunities that Rhonda's developed available for any of our adults and dislocated workers, just not a special population, because our one-stop center couldn't produce any participants that were impacted by COVID that fit any of the OJTs that Rhonda created. Please, if you have questions, please ask me because I want to make sure that you guys understand why I made that decision and then how that impacts us as a workforce area. Essentially, we would have failed this grant because, as you can see, we've had this money for just about a year now and only had one participant provided an OJT from this experience. And as you can see, Rhonda on the screen before had created over, Rhonda, what was the total number of OJTs you developed?
31.
31 OJTs and we only had one placement. So it didn't make sense to me to keep this grant and fail. So I thought that the energy should be spent on the OJTs that Rhonda has produced, making those available for adults and dislocated worker and still work with the One Stop Center to find participants that are suitable for these OJTs. Now, I'll also remind you that we even went out to other workforce areas. So we went to LA County, we went to Riverside, San Bernardino, San Diego, and also shared with them our OJTs and said, hey, we developed these OJTs. If you will send your participant over for this OJT, we both will get credit for the placement. So we'll get credit for the employment placement, you'll get credit for the participant placement. Both workforce boards will win in this scenario. The challenge is that a lot of the participants that they had weren't willing to travel or weren't suitable for some of the OJTs that were developed.
Karma, it's Annalisa.
Mm-hmm.
Remind me again what the projection was of how many people we were to place.
89. The goal for us was to place 89 dislocated workers into OJTs. Well, originally it was 180, was it, Rhonda?
Right.
It was originally 180 when we had the $800,000. And then at the 6 month mark, I said, you know what, state, maybe we're being too lofty. Let me give back half of the money and reduce it to half of it. But then after that 6 month period came up, which is now, I decided that, you know, after a whole year, we only have one place and 30 plus created, we weren't going to make this.
Okay.
And so the state used the money, they basically are reprogramming the money to another workforce area who is able to actually get people placed.
Mm-hmm.
And did we target the unemployed?
Absolutely.
And so just no response, don't takers from that list at all.
No takers from the list at all. We only had one person that was placed. So the One Stop Center, out of all the 700 plus participants that they have in there, they said none of them wanted an OJT, which was really interesting because I'd like to believe that if you went to the One Stop Center, you were looking for a job, but MCS was not able to identify any of their participants for these opportunities.
So do you have a sense of what the root cause of that might have been? And not to, you know, cry over spilled milk, but to learn from it. So that,
that's a great question. I think that, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if it's timing. I don't know if it really is participants not wanting these OJT opportunities or if the service providers struggle to find transferable skills, because, you know, a lot of these OJT opportunities are here because maybe you have some of the basic skills, but maybe you don't have the experience doing this particular job. So this is an opportunity for the employer to train you, right? I don't know if it's not, you know, if the service provider couldn't identify transferable skills. I don't know if we really didn't have participants that really didn't want to do these OJTs. I honestly don't know. What will be the test is if we're able to create any OJT starting in July, you know, July 1, when COVID, that kind of, when we project people going back to the job market, right. And this whole, as this COVID thing kind of lightens up and people start going back to work, looking for work opportunities. And now that these OJTs are available for adults and dislocated for everyone, basically, if we're still not able to identify people, maybe it is the caliber of these OJTs.
Okay. All right. So looking ahead, do you find, or do you have a sense of whether any other grant programs that we have received might have a similar experience,
yep,
outcome?
Yep. Yeah. So we have that $3 million from ED or from DOL, that CERS grant. It is now a year that we have that, and I haven't been able to hire any staff. We haven't been able to procure the one-stop mobile unit. We don't have the LMS system. It's likely that I'll have to give that grant back.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that this board or this body can do to help or support, or what can we do to help you?
That's a great question. I think this kind of some of the I think it's kind of some of the county processes that are kind of don't work with this, because if it takes the county 6 months to a year to hire somebody, if we go after these grants require special staff for them, we don't have a year to hire somebody. So I do know that the county is working on identifying a way to help me with some of these grants to get people hired on quickly. I don't know if there's one thing, like there's not one answer to fixing the problem. I think that,
I got you. I
hear yeah.
you. Okay. So on the back end, is there anything that we can do relative to the funder to perhaps let them know and renegotiate a timeline? Or do you think we'll have to return the funding as well?
I think if I don't have something soon, I'm going to have to return the funding. Because it's all about need, right? So when we write these grants, we say Orange County has an immediate need. We have this amount of people dislocated from work. We really need this $3 million to get people back into work in Orange County, right? Well, if I wrote a grant talking about the urgency and how bad it is, right? But then it takes me a whole year to do anything about it, kind of makes it not seem urgent.
Right, and I guess part of my bringing it up is we want to make sure that we remain authentic and credible in what we say. And so perhaps we could talk about it offline, but let us know and think through what if anything, can we as a board, if anything, and I don't know if there is anything do to help with that, because word travels fast in any kind of circle. And we just want to-
Yeah. I think maybe our strategy on service providers moving forward, like how we do this, I think that that's going to probably make a difference, because I think that right now we've got two, and maybe as we develop as a workforce board, if we decide to have multiple service providers that we can kind of pull from, maybe that the development of service providers, like I've said, I've shared this on more than one occasion. I think that we need to start working with mom and pops and developing them to serve people, because we're, you know, in this circumstance where we narrowed it down to 89 dislocated workers. Maybe if mom and pops who were engaging with these people who lost their jobs, maybe mom and pops could have helped service. You know, maybe it wasn't the one-stop career service provider that we should have leaned on. Maybe we need to start developing smaller programs. You know, of course, have one big one, but then some smaller ones that kind of help us get these numbers and start developing the pipeline. I don't know if there's a one answer. I just know that systematically, as a workforce system, we probably need to evaluate what we've been doing for a very long time and figure out should we be doing something different, and how should we do that? How do we bring in new providers who are already connected to the community to support us in the development of programs moving forward and serving people moving forward? I think that I have a great team who are excellent writers, so we can write a good grant, right? And we can create policies and procedures. I think you guys heard that we're really good at that, right? I think the problem is once it's beyond our control, like out of our hands, and we're depending on somebody else to give us participants and numbers, so when it gets kind of hard for us, because we can do what we can on our end, but a lot of what we do is dependent on other people being able to deliver.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Any other comments or thoughts? Okay, Carmel, I'll go ahead and turn it back to you to keep moving forward on the items.
Okay. And so, Rhonda, in an effort of time, I'm going to just go ahead and share that this is the report. It's attached in your board materials. This is the final report submitted to the state. We returned this money. So I want to be very transparent in that we returned this money. However, that doesn't mean that Rhonda and Elizabeth will stop creating OJTs. Their work is to create OJTs, apprenticeships, support, creating work experiences and job placements and hiring. They will continue to focus on that. So just because we gave this grant back does not mean this work stops.
Thank you, Karma.
All right, if it's okay with the committee, I'm gonna go ahead and move to Nancy to give us a report out on the call center.
All right, good morning, everybody. So I just have a quick update on the Business and Economic Recovery Call Center. So to date, we've had a total of 23,718 clients be assisted through the call center. So that's starting on March 2020, since they developed the call center. Between January 1st and March 30th, there was a total of 1,203 calls. And just to break that number down a little bit further, we had 912 business calls, 220 job seeker calls, and 71 community calls. Does anybody have any questions about those numbers or anything?
So Nancy, if I'm following you, you had more calls from businesses than job seekers. Is that
okay? Yes, especially since we had the micro business grant, we did have a lot of businesses call and inquire about the program, how to apply, and so forth, and just any questions about the application.
Got it. Thank you.
Of course. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Awesome, thank you. And so next I'm going to have Brynn do a report out on rapid response and layup aversion.
Hey, good morning. So for this quarter from January through March, we received a total of 6 WAR notices, and there wasn't one particular industry that stood out more than others. It was actually spread amongst a variety of different industries. During the quarter, there were approximately 345 permanent layoffs, and 65% of those permanent layoffs were a result of facility closures. And then during the quarter, we continue to offer our rapid response webinars, which we hold every other Wednesday via Zoom. And that webinar information is posted on Eventbrite for the general public to join these presentations. And then I also share this information with employers, especially if they're non-responsive or if they're really just not interested in an individual presentation for their company. During the quarter, we were asked by 3 different companies to do individual presentations. And one of those presentations we did at the company's worksite in Irvine, both presentations in English and Spanish. And then the other 2 presentations that we hosted were done virtually. Our partners during these presentations continue to be ADD Unemployment Insurance, ADD Workforce Services Branch, and Apex Financial Services Group. And I'm open to any questions if anyone has questions for me.
I just want to highlight to the committee that we're still getting layoffs. So back to the conversation I had, we wrote a grant, said that we've got layoffs happening in Orange County. They're still happening now, maybe not at the level that they were happening when the pandemic started, but Brynn is still getting layoff notices. So she just told you that in this quarter, we got 6 layoff notices. Brynn, I'm sorry, how many jobs were impacted by those 6?
So the total number of layoffs for this quarter were 345, and they were all permanent layoffs.
That's quite a bit of people who've lost their job in Orange County in that short period of time. So I just want to bring that to your attention. It's still happening. And so when Brynn goes out and has her rapid response event, what she does is she talks to, of course, the employer, gets their permission to talk to their employees, and she hosts rapid response events face-to-face or online, where she talks to them about what programs and services are available to them and encourages them to use the one-stop center. Now, they're not required to use the one-stop center, but we certainly try to encourage them to do that to help them find employment after their layoff, right? And so that's 300 people who've heard about our one-stop center and have either chosen to go there or not. But I just wanted to highlight that to you, that when Brynn is talking about these more notices and rapid response events, she is connecting to new people who may or may not use our workforce system for their future employment goals.
Brynn, it's Annalise. I've got a question. Of the closures, do you know whether they are just closing together or they're relocating to different areas?
I'm sorry, I only heard part of that, Annalisa.
Oh, yeah, let me repeat. So for, you said that a lot of the layoffs were due to facilities closing down, mm-hmm. correct? My question is, do you have a sense of whether those closures are due to the businesses going out of business, or were they relocating to a different area?
A couple of them were the businesses actual just completely closing. 2 of the locations were retail stores. So I'm assuming just that particular location wasn't working for the business. The retailer does remain open. It was just individual locations for that retailer closed. One of the other companies that was affected was mortgage services. And I have noticed, especially for this current quarter, so I'll report that for our next meeting, there have been quite a few layoffs within the mortgage industry just due to the housing market. I have noticed that there has been a trend as far as mortgage. So some companies are laying off a significant number of employees, and then we did have one that closed completely.
Okay. That is a lot of people, Karma, he said. Okay. And forgive me if I missed this, but do we have a sense or any data as to, of the 300, how many of them are engaging with the system?
So of the 300, let's see. Well, we did do three presentations for companies that were included within that 300 number. Now, our attendance for those presentations, so if we totaled all three companies, we only had about a 40% attendance rate at these rapid response presentations. So the employer is sharing the information about our presentations with affected employees, but we're still, for some of them, we didn't even get 50% attendance. I don't know if these individuals maybe had other jobs lined up, or, you know, maybe they plan to move out of the state. I don't know what their particular plan was, why they didn't attend.
Okay. All right. Any questions, comments, feedback from the committee? Okay. All right. Let's keep moving forward.
Thank you.
Thank you for the report.
And the next item on the agenda is the regional initiatives and the comprehensive economic development strategy overview. So I want to kind of explain something and kind of share with you what I plan to do moving forward. In the past, I haven't been giving you all of our regional grants. So Annette Kelly Whittle, who is our regional advisor, is contracted under regional grants. So those are grants that, of course, that we applied for to the state to provide regional services for the Orange County workforce system. We serve as the regional lead. So Santa Ana and Anaheim are our partners, but we lead the region, right? And so what I wanna do moving forward is all of our regional grants, just like we do the report outs of the other grants, I wanna make sure that I'm reporting out or giving you the reports on what we're reporting to the state regarding our regional activities and all the regional grants that we've received. So in the future, you'll see this added to the agenda. And we'll cover these reports as much or as little as you'd like to. I just want to make sure that I'm reporting that information, that you're fully aware of what we're spending, what work they've been doing to promote our workforce activities. And just a reminder, a big portion of what we do as a region is engaging with businesses. And that's why I think that this makes sense to be a part of this committee in terms of what this committee reviews and provides guidance for because of the significant amount of what it's supposed to do in terms of creating opportunities and resources for businesses in Orange County. So with that said, in your packet, you'll see the Regional Plan Implementation RPI 4.0 grant. That grant included, like I said, Annette Kelly Whittle's work. And so this is a report out for fourth quarter of all the activities that she and Aaron have done to support the Orange County Workforce Region. I'm not gonna go to it, you know, in detail. I'm just gonna give you guys the opportunity to kind of scan over it. And if you have any questions, please feel free to ask Annette and Aaron as they're here today. And if there are no questions, what I am going to ask is for Annette to give you guys an overview of her work. Like, what is she working on? Where are we with some of the regional activities?
Good morning, everyone. So currently we are
going to be launching our industry sector meetings in June. So June 10th is an apprenticeship awareness summit with a Vital Link and Saddleback College. So that's going to be the start of kind of launching everything. We're going to start with manufacturing. And at this event, we will have an audience of about 200 individuals, which will be from educators to employers also. So we'll give the dates of our first manufacturing industry sector meeting. That's going to be for the full county, for all of the supply side partners really to be a part of and to hear from businesses and develop this ongoing partnership with our businesses. So that's going to be June 10th. We have been working with California Ford. We've had a couple of community meetings, one in April and one just last week that we had, where we were doing some asset identification. So we worked through that. This was something that came out of our first meeting of some things that people wanted to see as we kind of move into this SURF planning process. So that currently the state of California has a program that they've launched, which is the SURF, which was created to promote sustainable and equitable recovery from economic distress of COVID-19 by supporting new plans and strategies to diversify local economy. They're interested in having a recovery that is equitable for all of the regions throughout California. They've identified 13 SURF regions, and for each region, we'll get $5 million in planning dollars to basically develop. Some people have described it as a very comprehensive SEDS, a very expanded SEDS, but basically it is a robust regional economic development plan that includes, you know, both economic and workforce planning. The goal is to create these inclusive planning tables that have conversations around the vision for the regions. The good thing in these 13 SURF regions, Orange County is a region of its own. So we are one of the 13. So our region should get approximately $5 million. They still say it's a competitive grant structure, but they've allocated $5 million per each of these 13 regions. Currently, the SURF draft guidelines are out for round two. The round two public input is being incorporated. They plan on releasing the actual final guidelines this month. So we will be working with California Ford and some of the organizations throughout the Orange County region to kind of have a conversation about how we are going to engage the public in this and all of the community-based organizations. It's a very, very big scope of work, I guess, if I could say it that way. And it's going to require a lot of partnership to move this body of work forward and to make sure that we are including the community and getting their input in a meaningful way. And so California Ford is going to be working with us to kind of talk about what this could look like for our Orange County region, as well as help us to set up a governance structure and kind of identify some very high level goals that we may want to come out of this SURF planning grant. After the planning, they are going to release the implementation phase of this grant, and that will come out in approximately, the draft guidelines will come out in about fall. So anyone who participates in the planning phase of this will have the opportunity to go after the implementation funds. So there's a total of $600 million that's appropriated towards this, that's coming from the American Rescue Plan Act Coronavirus Recovery Fund. So it's a huge opportunity for us to be able to cast a vision countywide to help us really identify how we want to move forward over the next 5-10 years in ensuring that we have strong industry sectors, as well as industry sectors that we may want to grow, and how we may attract other companies to Orange County region. Also identify that workforce development pipeline. How are we going to make sure that there's a strong workforce pipeline to feed into these jobs and tackle some of maybe the issues that with come along with, you know, lack of housing, affordable housing, aging communities. So there's a lot of different issues to address to make sure that there's a strong pipeline of people that can work and feed into jobs. You've got a lot of people who commute in from a lot of areas, which may not be so reasonable anymore with gas prices. So, you know, these are all things that can be considered as a part of this grant application. Also on July 21st, we will have a Workforce Development Board strategy meeting with all three Workforce Development Boards. So that will be July 21st from 9 to 1. So you guys will be getting a calendar invite from Diana on that. And the plan is to basically bring all three Workforce Development Boards to discuss the regional efforts and do some planning around what we want to see going forward. There's some initiatives such as regional marketing that we can discuss to see how we want to brand the actual Orange Regional Planning Unit, which is one of the 15 workforce development planning units throughout California that's designated by the California Workforce Development Board. So these are some of the topics of conversations and just kind of a visioning for the three workforce development boards as a region. So you'll be getting that. So please look out for all of that information. And if you have any questions for me, you can ask them now.
Annette, and the status of the Good Jobs Challenge grant, we're still waiting for the announcement in July?
We are still waiting, yes. Okay. We haven't received anything yet.
All right. Any sense of the chances of us getting that?
It's highly competitive. I think there were, I can't even remember the number, it was over 159, I think, submissions, and they're going to award between 30 and 40. So very competitive. It's difficult to say.
Right. We may have a conversation because I know, Karma, that you mentioned that you're committed to advancing some of the initiatives that were outlined under that, you know, grant proposal, even without the funding. I think just because I have pressure on me to do things in, you know, across the county, I think we need to have a conversation on what can we do now? Because we have to get something started in Orange County. So we could talk about that offline.
And that, I did 509 applications, I'm sorry, for the Good Jobs Challenge. I'm sorry.
How much again?
509 applications were submitted.
Yikes. Okay.
Annette, I didn't hear you mention this, but we talked about this, which was the meeting with the three workforce boards. Did we get that scheduled and sent out yet?
Yes, so I did mention it. So that's July 21st from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And then they already received the invite?
Diana's going to send that invite. She's
okay, so board members, when you receive that, if you could please respond. My goal is to get it out to you as soon as possible so that you don't schedule something else, because I'd like for you to meet with the other two workforce boards and the members of those boards so that we can actually start planning things together for the region. So I just want to remind you guys or highlight that to the group. And then, Renette, you said you started or you're planning to start the industry sector meetings in June. Do you have the dates for those? I know I heard the advanced manufacturing with Saddleback. But when is the meeting that you're going to hold? When is your first one?
Oh, the first one is, one second here. It's June 23rd for manufacturing.
So what I'd like to do, if we haven't done it, send it out to all the board members so they can send it out to any of their manufacturing friends to invite them to participate in the industry sector conversation.
Okay, Christina's working on flyers, so I can get out the dates to everyone.
Yeah, I want to at least get on the board members' calendars so that they can start forwarding to people. The sooner we get this information, the better. It's important for us to start moving the ball with these industry sectors.
Okay.
Are there any other questions or concerns for the regional the SEDS or any of that, any of the economic development work that we're doing as a workforce system? If not, then I'm going to move on to the next item. Desiree, you were on it and then you moved. Can we go back to the apprenticeship page? So the reason why this is, I know that we just approved the apprenticeship policy, but I think it's important that if you are empowered, you can help me share this information with others. So what I wanted to do is give you guys a cheat sheet that I found online from the Apprenticeship USA on how WIOA funds can be used to support apprenticeships. So while you're talking to businesses in the community about apprenticeships and should it come up in that conversation, I want to go to the, let's go to the next page. Desiree, just want to highlight with you like how the WIOA funds that we manage can support the apprenticeship. So there are some areas where for the training and education, we can use our workforce dollars to pay for the training side. So for example, let's say that, I don't know, we're going to make up a company. The fidget spinner company had an apprenticeship, right? And that apprenticeship with the fidget spinner company, the training part was with Saddleback College. So when an individual is put in that apprenticeship, we can, and they're a WIOA participant, we can pay for the Saddleback College education of that apprenticeship. And then we can pay for the fidget spinner company's wages paid out during that training period. So I just want to highlight so that you can see like how it works. So they call it on the job training dollars. And I felt like OJT kind of gets really weird, meaning that there's regular OJT and now there's OJT for apprenticeship. So we just call it apprenticeship training dollars. So that way internally for our service providers, we can separate OJT, regular OJT from apprenticeships that we're paying for the training part, right? But what we wanted to do, what I wanted you to do is to see that workforce dollars can be spent on both sides of it, from the education side of it and the training dollar side of it. Now this policy says up to 75% of the apprenticeship wages. We have to establish standards because apprenticeships can last a long time. I don't know if you guys know, but apprenticeships can last several years. We can't pay several years worth of wages. I can't do that for one person. So what we had to do in our policy is establish how long can we do it as a workforce system or commit to it. As you know, our money is done in formula allocations and they're good for up to 2 years. So we kind of have to make our apprenticeship policy in alignment with what we can actually do. But I wanted to just kind of highlight and make it this accessible to you as you go out and talk to other people about apprenticeships in the community and what WIOA can do. You actually have a cheat sheet to help you with that. So yeah, so I just wanted to give this to you guys to make it available to you so you can use it for your at your will, but just helping you help us get the information out there. And if you were interested in creating apprenticeships as board members, we can discuss creating apprenticeships with your organizations. I don't know if it's suitable or not, but if you want to explore the development of an apprenticeship using your organization, we can explore that. Okay. All right. And so that's all I wanted to cover on that. I just wanted to give you guys the tool to help us get the information out there so you could refer back to. Since we just passed the apprenticeship policy, we don't have any. But I just wanted to make the information available. The next item on the agenda is G. And if you guys are okay with moving forward, I'd like to move to item G, the grant matrix. Is that okay with you and Elisa?
Go ahead.
Okay. And so, Aaron, thank you. And so then, Aaron, if you could give us an update on the grant matrix.
Sure. Good morning. So you have the grant matrix update in front of you. So I'll just kind of provide a brief update. Karma has touched on a couple of these previously in the meeting. So again, you can see the first one, the California Micro Business Relief Grant Program, that continues. And I believe the second round of applications is being released next week. So small business, micro businesses will have a second opportunity to apply for that grant. The careers grant here earlier, we are continuing to try to get that program started. Karma did provide you an update. The STEPS program continues through Goodwill. And again, that's the work experience with students with disabilities. And that runs through June 30. VEEP grant continues. That is still working. I think, reached about half our participants that the goal we had set for participants. So that one is still continuing. And then you can see Regional 4.0. We did, you saw the report. We continue to work with our industry partners and in setting up the sector partnerships and working with Santa Ana and Anaheim on regional work initiatives for that grant. And then you can see, starting with the COVID employment recovery, I started graying out the grants. Those are ones that have closed. So you can just, so it's a little easier to see. These are currently in the closeout process. So they either usually ended on the quarter or a different, you know, set date. But you can see that we have four grants that are going through the closeout process. One of them is the Santa Ana led P2E prisoner to employment grant that is closing, that also wrapped up at the end of March. And then you can see grants pending. We have the Good Jobs grant. We had already, Annette provided an update on that application. So we are still waiting for word on that application. I keep going down a little bit. There you go. Keep going. One more. Yeah. And then the steps. So we are working with the Foundation for Community Colleges to finalize STEPS funding for the next fiscal year. So starting July 1, we were able to secure a little extra funding for this next year over what the program had previously awarded, which was the $250,000. So they were able to give us a little extra to support the program, because there's very minimal program support in this, because most of that funding actually goes to participant wages. So we're getting final word or official word that has been awarded. Time of this writing, it wasn't official yet, so it's still under pending. And then we have the last one, which is the Regional Equity and Recovery Partnership grant. And that's the next round of regional funding, which will start in December 1st. And that application is due Friday. So we're wrapping that up, and we'll be submitting by the Friday due date. And that will cover the next, pretty much almost next 3 years of regional activities, which again will include our sector partnerships and work that supports the regional organizer and the activities around what Annette does. And also this one was they are having us partner with the community colleges. So within the grant, there are community college projects that are written into the grant that will be funded separately through the state chancellor's office, but they are included in this grant as supporting projects that support the overall vision of the regional work and creating quality jobs and advancing the workforce and educating the workforce through separate programs, so through these community college programs. So that one, again, that one goes in. Again, that's $1.3 million for the next 3 years of regional funding. That is my update. Is there any questions? All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. And then the last item on the agenda is the EDD compliance audit updates. Desiree, if we can, yeah, there we go. So probably about a year or so ago, we kind of went over some of these compliance findings that we had as a workforce system. And I wanted to just get back on task of providing you updates on where we are. So I think that for many of you board members, when you first started, I kind of went over with you very transparent, some compliance findings that we had that we kind of inherited. And that we were working with the state to resolve. As you can see, several of them are still open. So what I'm talking about is all the ones that pertain to the 2018 period, 2018 and before period, that was an accumulation of multi-million dollars of compliance observations. Those are still open and ongoing. So at this point in time, I do not have any updates in terms of them being resolved. The state is still evaluating all the materials submitted and making a determination. As soon as we receive any type of feedback or updates, I'll be able to update this report and provide you guys more information as to where we are with those outstanding reports. Now, what I also want to show you is that in the green section are audits that we've received recently. And as a result, they've been all closed successfully. We don't have anything pending, no money due. So that means that a lot of the policies and procedures that we put in place from 2018 until today are working for us because we've been able to resolve some of the challenges that we've had as a workforce system prior to 2018. So I wanted to give you a list of how many, like all of the audits that have happened more recently and the status that they're all resolved. There's no compliance findings, no observations. They've successfully closed out in that green section. The blue section is the internal audit conducted. So as you know, the county has a department called the Contract Management, Contract Monitoring and Program Compliance Department, led by Nakia Theory. And so she has gone out and reviewed activities. So she's reviewed 1920 activities in terms of fiscal monitoring. Let me highlight that she doesn't actually do these fiscal monitoring. She hires a third party to do them, but she oversees them. But as a result of her 2019-20, we resolved no compliance findings on that one. And then for program year 2020-21 and then 21-22, they are currently open and being reviewed. So I will provide you more update as that third party auditor goes out and reviews all the financial activities for those periods, and I'll let you know where we stand on that. And then the last section is where she is going out monitoring our service providers. Moving forward, we'll have a little bit of a different feel to this report, but she's got the 1920 they're reviewing now for our service providers. So it's open or ongoing. And then for 2020 and 2021, 21-22, she's planning those. So she's not started going out to do the program monitoring on those yet, but she has it scheduled to go out. So I just wanted to share with you this report. The next board meeting, I think we're gonna have a little bit more details so that you guys can keep in mind what the findings were, how many findings were out there from the open ones. Any questions or concerns about this? I just wanted to kind of bring this back up and make sure this stays on the radar, that we do have, part of our role is to do fiscal and program oversight. And I wanted you to see that it's still being conducted.
Thank you for sharing all of that, Karma. Are there any questions from the committee? Okay. All right, Karma, I'm not hearing any questions, so we're now going to move on to item 8, open discussion. And first of all, I want to commend the team for all the wonderful updates. I think y'all have been doing such a phenomenal job of, you know, getting our mission out to the community. I also wanted to thank the folks here for having attended the strategy session that we had a few weeks back. I suppose, Karma, my question would be, as a result of that strategy session, trying to remember if there were any priorities that we all decided upon, particularly as it relates to business solutions or services.
I don't have that final report. Believe that David, Adriana is working with David to send it over to us, and we were supposed to put it out for public comment because it is supposed to be a public document, right? I need to circle back to find out what the status of that report is in that open comment period. The intention was to have it presented at our May full board meeting. So I will circle back with Adriana to find out where exactly are we with that, and will we have it in time for the May meeting? And so maybe we'll have to do it in reverse. Maybe we just review what he's provided us, but we make no vote on it so that we can still have that public comment period.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I mean, I heard a couple of let's just say, opportunities or challenges that seem or sound like are really beyond the control of the staff. So again, I'll reiterate the question, think about it, how if at all we can talk about it offline. We can support you all to help you and the system become even more effective than it is. So that's all from me. Are there any other comments or questions, feedback from anyone else on this call? Going once, going twice. Well, thank you all for your time and thank you to the staff for your hard work. At this time, we're going to adjourn at 10:35. See you next quarter.